Welcome back, 9 o'clock. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Trying to cast our final three rolls for our potential summer blockbuster movie, Blue Steel. Movie about the Broncos Super Bowl 50 season. Trying to cast Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Philip Rivers. So, got one from Terry. Thinks we should cast Will Ferrell as Philip Rivers.
Pass.
Can I have to... if we were doing something like semi-pro, and he played that kind of character like he did in semi-pro,
right,
and have him be more like Philip Rivers, though, okay. But we're trying to do somewhat of a serious take on this.
Yeah.
And so...
And Will Ferrell is incredibly foul-mouthed.
Yes,
and
he is.
And Philip Rivers is not.
No, he's
at
quite...
At least when it comes to profanity.
He's quite the opposite. I mean,
he's a jerk.
He's quite the opposite. He's the ultimate clean smack talk guy.
Yeah.
Ron's got one for Tom Brady. Sam Heughan from Outlander. The ladies would like that for Sam Heughan. Looks kind of like him. I like Josh DeMille, though. I still think that he's probably the guy. Heughan's not a, way out of left field suggestion for him. And I'm going to give Sam Heughan a little plug here.
Okay.
Don't know Sam Heughan personally.
No.
If you watch the TV show.
I don't even know who he is.
He's an Outlander, the Stars TV show.
Good for him.
He's in Bloodshot, too, with Vin Diesel.
Also good.
If you have Stars, because we went over to Great Britain, went to Scotland.
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I know it's like, shut up. It's not like I talk about it every damn day.
Not for 2020 or 2021. That's true. You've been very good.
I'm just saying that you like things that are Scottish.
Uh-huh.
There's the show Men with Kilts that they give you like a little Sam Heughan and his Outlander co-star Graham McTavish. They go around. They're both Scottish. They both go around the countryside of Scotland in a camper, a little van, and they go to different places in Scotland where they make whiskey and Culloden, the famous Scottish battle with the British. They go there because Culloden plays a key role in the Outlander TV series. So
More about the whiskey.
Cool show. Oh yeah, they're constantly drinking some whiskey.
They make Uncle Rio's Night Eye juice all over the world.
Yeah. Yes,
Scotland's
they do.
One of my favorite countries.
You would love Scotland. You would. As much as you're ripping on me.
No, I absolutely would.
I'm not trying to be
would.
That. Well, I went there.
I just like giving you a hard time.
Because that's, outside of going to Mexico once.
Uh-huh. That's the only place out of the country you've been.
I went there twice. We went to Puerto Vallarta for our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out to San Diego. And we drove to Rosarito Beach or whatever, across the border. Scary as hell, by the way. That was a scary town. And, that's it. I mean, then until we went to Great Britain. So
I like to poke fun, but as far as I've been, it's Canada. So
see, I've never been to Canada. That's on I want to go to Canada one of these days.
Yeah. No, so. I figured I would love Scotland and Ireland. And
you would.
Great Britain as a whole.
Yeah, look, we love Scotland so much. Love to go back there again. Mm-hmm. And watching the show, Men with Kilts, like, hey, man, that's so cool. And there are places they went to. It's like we went. A couple of places that were on their journey we went to. So
yeah.
It's a cool show. If you're interested in things Scottish, Men with Kilts if you have Stars.
Thing with me about Europe is if I go, I don't know if I'm coming back because there's so many places I want to go see that it would take like a couple
right.
years to get it all
yeah.
done.
Exactly. And we've thought about that.
I wouldn't sleep for like 5 days and I'd be like, I didn't see anything because there's so much. But
like, if you're going over there, you're not going there for 5 days.
You got to go for a while.
You got to go for a while. Like, I think we went 12 days. And if you're going to go, you've got to plan on being gone for a while.
Yeah, it felt like 3 weeks. Hosting.
Oh, it was in the summer. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. There was nothing to talk about but Rockies.
Come on. There's plenty to talk about.
No.
You and Buffalo, Mark, I'm sure you guys had plenty to talk about. Cake.
We almost talked way more wrestling than I'm allowed.
You know, at that point in time, I was out of the country. I didn't care.
Yeah. Somebody would have still found you, though. They would have flown over there on the Concorde to tell you. He's talking wrestling.
You know he's doing that. We got one from Bronco Sarge this morning. Now, hear me out.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what is Texas. Now, hear me out. Daniel Day-Lewis for Belichick. They're both so method, you know. DDL would put on the weight and all in the and cut off all the sleeves in his house. So every shirt for Daniel Day-Lewis, he cut the sleeves.
Hmm.
That's not entirely crazy. Didn't Daniel Day-Lewis?
He played Lincoln.
Didn't he hang it up? Didn't he decide to retire from acting? I think he did, but maybe he would come out of retirement. I could see him taking this on as a challenge.
It's him and Joe Pesci, the only two I've ever known to just be like, no, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Well, Brad Pitt keeps talking about retiring, but apparently he's in some action movie coming up. But I'm
expensive divorces too.
I will say that's not that's not a ridiculous suggestion. Not that they bear this uncanny resemblance, but I could see, you know who? Okay, I just thought of somebody too.
Okay,
because we talked about him the other day, needing a lot of work because he's got the wife that has
Bobby De Niro.
Bobby De Niro is Belichick. Think about that. Daniel Day-Lewis, Bronco Sarge, not a crazy suggestion, but that made me think we're talking method. And it made me think, what about De Niro?
Yeah. Hmm. Are we going to need people rubbed out in this movie enough for De Niro? Not be enough killing in our movie for Robert De Niro.
Look, we've seen Pacino play a coach in the Stone movie.
Yeah.
Any Given Sunday. Don't need to do that again.
No, we don't need... Because he's one of those guys, he's always Al Pacino as
somebody. Whatever.
And, he doesn't ever drop into the role.
Yeah. Ooh-ah! Which I'll give... Oh yeah. I will say that De Niro, there's occasionally a time when it's like, okay, that's Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
But there's also times he gets lost in the role. Jake LaMotta, Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him playing Belichick.
Yeah. And he's still so good in Goodfellas.
Oh, yes, Conway. He is. Marcus, out Orchard and Mesa way. Jack Nicholson or William Shatner for Bill Belichick?
No, on Bill Shatner. He's just too
Tom
quirky.
Tom, what are you doing, Tom?
Let's run 2X. Spider, why?
Spider, why?
Banana. No.
What is he, Gruden?
Well, I don't know any other NFL play calls. Gruden's the only one that gave me one. Let's go Dragon left. There's two. They cut the mics off at 15 seconds left in the play clock. He wouldn't have enough time.
Yeah, I don't see Nicholson, but I could see Bill Shatner. But he's got, he's Bill Shatner.
I would see Nicholson more than William Shatner.
Facially,
again,
though.
It would be
facially,
like,
he looks more like Belichick.
That's Captain Kirk is Bill Belichick.
Why not, though?
They beam him down to Foxborough. Look at that.
Why not? I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great to see Captain Kirk play Bill Belichick. I just think it's funny that, reading a story about Shatner when he played Captain Kirk back in the original series, that they had to put him in a girdle. Even back at the early days of the show.
Puffy,
because
chubby.
He was a little puffy, so they had to put him, in a girdle so he wouldn't look so... Even back then, and then I guess he did lose some weight. But I'm not opposed to either one of those guys. I think when I think that the look of Belichick, I think Shatner more than Nicholson, but that's just me.
When I think of Belichick's personality, I think more Nicholson than Shatner.
Let's see, Roy from Fruita. He missed the interview with Kim Johansson, Fruita Monument volleyball coach we had on first hour. Is there somewhere I can replay it?
Nope, gone forever.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Roy, you'll be able to hear it. Check out our Twitter feed or our Facebook page or our website after 10:30 this morning.
And podcast will be up by 11.
And then up by 11, the complete show, if you want to hear the whole thing, at theteam1340.com. Yep. So you will be able to hear it. It's going to be, though, till 10:30 this morning.
Yeah. We're busy right now.
Yeah, I can't do it right now. I'm on the air. Nick Offerman is Belichick. More the delivery than the look. Ron Swanson is Bill Belichick. I could see when he's talking about delivery, good job, Terry.
But the whole thing about Offerman, not the whole thing, but part of his shtick is the mustache, right? He'd have to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's got to go.
And I'm not sure people would then know who he was.
But that's the thing, though. It's
Got to unpuff the eyebrows, shave the mustache, you know.
Yeah, Offerman, that's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad at all. Steve's got Ray Liotta as Belichick. Closer, this is a better cast for Ray Liotta than Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, that's true. Also, Dynamite and Goodfellas. Watched that the other couple weeks ago. We're getting off on a tangent here, but the rundown did say open, so.
It is. Yeah.
Watched that a couple weeks ago.
Wait, reveal to everybody. We had nothing planned for this particular segment.
I found something, though, if we run out of
But this
content.
Has been good so far. Yeah. It's been good.
Sat down to watch Goodfellas a couple weeks ago with Karen for the first time.
Okay.
About two-thirds of the way through, she's like, this is intense. Yes, it is.
Did she have reservations about watching it initially?
I don't think so. Because like, I just turned it on. I'm like, here we go. Watching Goodfellas. Like, have you seen this? She's like, nope. Like, play.
Well, you don't ask her. You don't say, "Hey, would you like to watch Goodfellas?" You just put it on and say, "This is what I'm watching."
Every once in a while we skip those steps, and it's about a 50-50 split. So,
okay, so she does that to you. Okay,
I'm trying to help you out here, man.
I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah, I do a lot of dumb things, but this one is kind of
because normally that's not how that works.
Yeah,
it needs to be. What would you like to watch? If you don't have an idea, I have Goodfellas.
Yeah. Well, we were flipping through Netflix and it came up, right? I'm like, have you seen Goodfellas? She's like, no. I'm like, okay. Can't say that in 3 hours. Here you go. Yeah. She's like, this is intense.
So she obviously liked Goodfellas.
I think she liked it. Yeah. She said it was intense. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but
I would take intense as a good thing.
She was very locked in and violent.
She was locked in and really enjoyed it. Okay.
I liked it, so I mean that's
now Sonny says we'll sell way more tickets with Shatner as Belichick. His following is really, really big. Let's be honest about Bill Bell about William Shatner. It's big.
But are they gonna care about a football movie?
I don't know, but they
are Trekkies gonna line up the night before in their suits?
Not unless
with
he's
the poor red shirt who dies every
not unless
episode?
He's playing Captain Kirk again.
Yeah, see? So, I mean,
he's James
that's
Tiberius
where his
Kirk.
Following is.
This is James Tiberius Kirk is the head coach of the Patriots.
His spoken word albums and the Trekkies, which, God love him. I'm one of them. I love it. Star Trek movie, I'm in.
I read somewhere that he's in a film, and I think it's with a new movie with Gene Smart. It was in Watchmen, Designing Women back in the day. And it's like a love story with them, if I remember this correctly. And he's supposedly really good at it, which...
He's a good actor.
Who?
I think he's good.
He's terrible.
Better than me.
Well, he's better than us. He's made a career out of it.
WWE Hall of Famer, too.
Have you ever acted in anything? Like a play, like even in elementary school?
I was in a couple plays.
Who'd you play?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't even remember the plays, but a couple middle school plays, I think I was around
there or
something.
Elementary school.
Because you had to, not because I wanted to.
I think I played Henry Hudson, Hudson Bay, the trading company. I think we did some little thing on that, and I was in that. Played the guy that wrote Silent Night one time for a church play.
I acted like I could play baseball in 12 years of Little League.
That's a good one. The weird thing about that deal, it was like a high school youth group play.
Uh-huh.
And I forget the name of the guy that wrote Silent Night, but he was German. And so instead of just having us act it, dialogue and talk, they wanted to be authentic. And so they had somebody who knew how to speak German And so a good chunk of the play was us just lip syncing
to somebody speaking German.
And if that was the stupidest thing ever, like there was a little bit of it, we spoke English, but a big chunk of it was us lip syncing somebody speaking German. That person will not be directing our film, by the way.
No, absolutely not.
It's just ridiculous.
Because there's none of this is going to be in German.
I'm just going, we're going to do what again? You want me to do what? Okay, sure, we'll do that. And I don't remember
if they told the kids lip sync German.
And I don't remember if they gave the people, you know, at the church, you know, the audience, if they gave. I'm assuming they had something they could read that they could follow along because, you know, so
they don't speak German either. You would know it.
A church full of non-German speaking people,
right? See, that would be a perfect play for a pandemic. All the kids wearing masks. You can't see their mouth moving wrongly.
Exactly.
You just
gesture and, you know.
Just move your jaw up and down. Blah, 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 blah. Peas and carrots. Peas and carrots.
And it's like, well, I guess I have less lines I need to learn. Because all I do is just, I mean, was I really going to try that hard?
No. Come on.
No, I was not.
Oh, that's...
It's like, why are we doing this again?
That's brutal.
I've been involved in a lot of ridiculous things in my life. A lot of them self-created. That was maybe one of the most ridiculous thing I've ever done. Lip-syncing German in a church, like a Christmas play that we were doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
9/17.
That's a bad decision. I still can't get over that. Let's have someone off screen or off camera or off stage reading German. To who exactly?
To people that don't even understand the language. Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's make it authentic. Ugh.
Even moms are like, I'm going to throw this tape away.
I'm not sure what, I don't think my mom even recorded it.
This isn't
it,
going into
honest.
The yearbook.
No. No, it is not. Not going to the yearbook. Okay, we move on. So we're still looking to cast Bill Belichick, which I'm kind of liking De Niro. I'm kind of liking De Niro for this thing. I'm not opposed to Bill Shatner. Daniel Day-Lewis was not a terrible idea. Bronco Sarge.
If I were to rank him, I would go Lewis, De Niro, and then Shatner.
Sonny says if it's Shatner, the Trekkies will be there. Are you speaking for the Trekkies, Sonny?
As a Trekkie?
Yes. Are you a Trekkie? And will you lead the Trekkie parade to Blue Steel if Bill Shatner plays Bill Belichick?
For his cameo appearance.
Yeah, because it's not like he's going to have a huge, huge role in this film. We'll give him...
Are we bringing Klingons and whatever?
Romulans.
Romulans. I couldn't name another one off the top of
my
head.
Those are the two biggies.
And
then later the Borg.
Dressing up?
The Borg from Next Generation.
For this? That was...
Are they dressing up to go to Blue Steel? I don't know.
Some poor red shirt that's got to go get the sodas and popcorn.
Are they going to understand anything that's going on because it's football?
Some of them will.
Some
crossover.
I love Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if I'm necessarily a Trekkie because I don't possess Star Trek props or any clothing or anything. I do love the show.
I'm a fan of the franchise, so I'll call myself that much of a Trekkie, but basic understanding of football, too.
Okay. So.
Just basic.
Tommy Lee Jones is Belichick. Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm thinking more character actor for Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Tommy Lee would be good, though. That's a good one, JT.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, 9/19. We haven't finalized it yet. I think, though. Josh DeMille, we both think that's Brady.
He's Tom Brady.
I'm pretty much with you on Worthington.
Yeah.
As Philip Rivers.
Because he's not going to be in the movie long enough to where we have to do a ton with him only being 5'10", you know?
Right. So Belichick remains the elusive final piece in this film. All right, still plenty of time to get your ideas in today. 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340 coming up. We will have this day in sports history. We will also dive into the world of NASCAR in the garage of NASCAR. Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Neon. So we'll have that coming up in just a little bit. So text or call today, 970 242-1340. Your thoughts on our final three roles we're trying to cast, that being, of course, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Philip Rivers. So text in today, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. And we will take a break, and we'll come back. And like I said, up next, this day in sports history. See what happened on this day in the world of sports. That's coming up next right here on the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader of the Team. We're online at theteam1340.com.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 925. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Coming up, we'll go in the garage of NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, as NASCAR heads to Talladega. Talladega Nights. Or more like, well, Talladega Afternoon, since it's a day race. That's coming up on Sunday. The Geico 500, we'll talk with the guys about that, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. It is in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod in just a few minutes. All right, we're getting closer to the draft, and Bill Barnwell over at ESPN does an excellent job covering the NFL. He has, what, a draft with all trades, right?
Yeah, it's all trades. It's his mock draft, and he does this almost every year. And he hopes that there's a trade with every pick in the first round. And he tries to construct a trade that makes sense for both teams, but this is way more fun than just a regular mock draft.
So we're going to go 1 through 10 on this?
Yeah, let's just do 1 through 10.
Okay, so Jags are on the clock.
Yep.
And the Jags make a trade in this Barnwell hypothetical all trade?
There's no way they're trading out of the number one pick.
No.
But this is more for fun than anything else.
I believe the Jags have said they've had some overtures, but they're like, no, we're not doing that.
No.
But in Bill Barnwell's fictional trade, Jacksonville would get Justin Herbert and safety Derwin James.
And the Chargers' first round pick at number 13 overall.
And so you get the 13th pick, Jags would get Herbert and Derwin James.
And then the Chargers in return get number one overall and a third rounder. And they could take Trevor Lawrence. And you know what? Maybe.
You know, if the Chargers were dumb enough to make that offer, so the Jags, why wouldn't you take that in the real world? Why wouldn't you take that? You're getting Derwin James, one of the better safeties in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a already proven quarterback who is still just in the second year of playing in the league in Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You're getting a known commodity. And Justin Herbert.
For everything about Trevor Lawrence that we know in college, there are still questions. You know, there's still questions about how he's going to do in the NFL. We don't know.
I think it makes a lot of sense if that was actually a real world thing and the Jags said, yeah, we'll jump on that.
It's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, not at all. Dumb for the Chargers, I think.
Oh, absolutely stupid.
But for the Jags.
The Spanos family. But then again.
Well, it's Spanos family.
Yeah.
So we have the Jets at number two. And the deal is Jets would get Russell Wilson from Seattle. Seattle gets what?
Number two.
Number two.
23.
23. Then they get
a fourth rounder and next year's first round pick.
And which is the better of the Jets and Seattle selections.
Yeah. I am taking that trade if I'm the Jets.
Proven quarterback.
Yeah,
veteran
which
guy,
they've
won
not
a Super
had
Bowl.
For 50 years.
Still got a lot of tread on the tires.
Yeah.
In the case of Russell Wilson.
Probably a better offensive line in the Jets, which is a weird thing to say.
But and if you're Seattle, you're getting a lot of picks to build around.
You can draft a different Wilson and be working under a rookie contract. Which is huge. You're going to save $30 million a year.
Yeah, if they take Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback, at number two, which would make a lot of sense. Yeah,
that's not even the worst trade we've read so far.
No. So number three, got the Niners right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they would make a deal with the Atlanta Falcons. They get the fourth overall pick, third round, the 68th overall pick, 2022 third round pick. Falcons would get the third pick in the draft.
So they would move up one spot. at that point, they would definitely be going quarterback, right?
Absolutely.
Because there's no way to move up and not go quarterback. Who are you going to take at third overall?
That wouldn't probably already be there for you.
Right.
Pitt's the tight end from Florida. It's probably going to be there.
Probably going to be there four.
So why would you do that other than you like one of these quarterbacks?
Absolutely. And that's what Barnwell's saying.
So Atlanta, number four.
This is a different trade. Because the one was for three for the Niners. This is a one for the Falcons.
Falcons currently have the fourth overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
They'd make a deal with the Patriots. They get the Patriots' first round pick, 15th overall.
Yep.
Third round pick, 96th overall, 2022 first round, plus cornerback J.C. Jackson.
Patriots move up to fourth.
2022 fourth round pick, cornerback Isaiah Oliver.
Former Buff, right?
Former Buff, yeah. Pats would get their quarterback.
Yeah.
That they apparently allegedly want.
And with all the off-season moves that they've made, that kind of vaults them into competitor class, right? For the playoffs?
If you're the Falcons, you get a cornerback that'll help you.
Yeah.
You're still probably going to have a shot at getting a player that's going to be an addition to your roster. Probably on the defensive side.
You get a better value at 15 on that defensive player than you can at 4, for sure.
Right. Because it sounds like with the Falcons, the Matt Ryan's contract now, I mean, they're kind of somewhat locked into him the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, if you're the Broncos, you're kind of going, okay, Falcons may not be getting a quarterback as much as Arthur Blank says he likes this group of quarterbacks, that Fontenot and Arthur Smith may say, well, once again, I agree with Dan Patrick, what he said, I believe it was yesterday.
With Peter King.
You cannot believe what you're hearing.
Right.
This is all one giant poker game.
And I think Peter King was the one that said, you're not going to bring in a brand new regime and then cut them off at the knees on their essentially first day.
Absolutely.
You can't do that if you're Arthur Blank.
So Bengals at 5. They would make a deal with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals would get the Chargers' 13th pick in the first round, fourth round pick, 118, 2022 first round pick, and the Chargers would get the fifth overall pick in the draft, which offensive line, Penei Sewell from Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Guy that knows Justin Herbert a little bit.
Right. So that would make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Bengals, is there a chance that Ja'Marr Chase, who they supposedly really like, would he be there at 13? Yeah, there's a good chance. You know, reteaming, getting the band back together, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
But there's going to be a good receiver, no matter who it is, yeah, available at 13.
Absolutely.
It may not be Chase, but it may be somebody else.
But, yeah, it'll be somebody. But here's the thing, too. Bengals need offensive line help.
Yeah.
Does that make sense for them to trade out of that spot where they need, and they can get one of the top tackles, Sewell? Good likelihood that Penei Sewell is going to be there.
If we're playing off of this trade idea, you would probably take Reif or Jonah Williams from the Chargers to move out of 5 for them to move up to 10.
You got to give me one of your tackles.
Right.
You got to give me something here because I'm a decent chance I'm not going to get one of my top guys if I make this move.
Exactly. And that's what I think.
Okay, number 6, got the Dolphins. Made the trade already with Philadelphia. Dolphins, or then we can just deal with the Cowboys in this trade. Dolphins get the 10th overall pick. Pick 138 in the fourth round, and Amari Cooper, which the Cowboys are going to have a tough time keeping down the road.
Interesting.
Cowboys would get the 6th overall pick, third rounder this year, the 81st pick in the draft.
And they talk about Michael Gallup's going to be a pending free agent.
Former CSU Ram.
They can use Cooper's money on a couple of different players. And if Kyle Pitts is there,
gives them
another replacement offensive weapon, that's a heck of a lot cheaper.
Younger, yeah, cheaper, and another toy. You spent a lot of money on Dak Prescott, so you need to give him some weapons. Lions are at number 7 in this Barnwell trade. These are all
fictional trades, yeah.
The Jets would make the deal to get up to get the number 7 pick. And so the Lions would get the first round, the 23rd pick, third round, the 66th overall pick, and a 2022 first round pick. Jets would get the 7th overall pick. So they would have number 2 and they'd have number 7.
I think this is
because he made the deal previously
for the Jets to move in.
Yes.
To go second and seventh.
Because they made the previous deal.
Yeah.
And they are in our fictional trades that Barnwell is talking
about.
This could
get them their wide receiver to pair with Russell Wilson. But also for the Lions, it amasses picks for the next 2 years. You get three picks over the next two drafts extra. You get down into 23rd. You're going to have a decent offensive weapon available there. It's a weapon heavy draft.
Yeah, pretty deep at the wide receiver position. Tight end, not so much. Pitts is pretty much the guy, but wide receiver, it's pretty deep.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, number 8 is Carolina. Panthers would make a deal with Washington. Panthers would get the 19th pick in the first round, 2022 first round pick, and defensive tackle Matt
Ioannidis.
Ioannidis, I believe. Yes. Washington would get the 8th pick in the first round, 2022 fifth round pick.
Yeah, that. I don't know what good that does the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they benefit from that.
But for Washington, that can get them maybe the quarterback that's left over to
Mac Jones, Justin Fields, whoever.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's tutelage.
Exactly. Okay. So, makes sense for one, not the other.
Yeah, exactly. That one was that's the biggest head scratcher, I think.
We get to the Broncos at number 9. Denver would make a deal with Atlanta.
That's a three-way dance.
And also Baltimore. So in this deal, Broncos would get the 4th pick, the Falcons' 4th pick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They would get the 5th round, 148th pick overall from Atlanta. Falcons would get the 9th pick from the Broncos, 2022 first-round pick from Denver, and then 4th round, 131 from Baltimore. Baltimore would get current Denver receiver Tim Patrick in this deal because there's concern that the Ravens don't have enough perimeter weapons for Lamar Jackson. Tim Patrick, who had his best season last year in the NFL, would be a guy that could be a big addition to that wide receiving corps.
If I'm George Payton, I swap out Tim Patrick for Deshaun Hamilton, but I make the call to both of those teams because that's probably the most realistic of any of these trades.
But is that going to move the needle for the Ravens, Deshaun Hamilton? Which I know we talked about yesterday, a lot of teams have expressed an interest in him. Tim Patrick's a guy that, to me, moves the needle more. Big physical receiver, coming off his most productive season.
Mm-hmm. Might cost more, too. And they might be willing, you know, to part with a different pick for Deshaun Hamilton.
I would want to keep Tim Patrick if I'm George Payton.
That's what I meant, yeah.
But I would be okay moving on from him if it meant I could get up to the 4th pick in the draft. And I want one of these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That might be, I've got a little bit of depth at the wide receiver spot. I'd hate to lose Tim Patrick. Would rather lose Deshaun Hamilton.
I would sacrifice him for the 4th. Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to. There. But I'm with you, though. I would definitely, hey, what about Deshaun Hamilton? What about a different pick?
Mm-hmm.
A lower round pick?
But if they're dead set on Tim Patrick, I'm okay with that.
Then I can make that move and I'm all right. Okay, we'll wrap it up at number 10 with the Cowboys. They would make a deal with the Vikings. Vikings would get the 14th pick in the first round and defensive end from the Vikings, Danielle Hunter. Vikings would get that 10th pick overall, second round, the 44th pick, fourth round, 115.
What good does this one do either team, though?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what this does for the Cowboys other than you're adding a good defensive player.
Right.
Possibly the thing about
this that makes the most sense is whoever's available at 10 is probably there at 14.
True.
In all likelihood, or somebody very equivalent to that player.
Because if you're the Cowboys, somebody's going to fall to you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's maybe it's Jalen Waddle. I mean, somebody's going to be there because you'd
Slayer,
like that.
Slayer, Micah Parsons, maybe.
Yeah.
Cowboys don't really need weapons.
They need more help defensively. That's where Micah Parsons makes sense for them.
They're in the same category as the Falcons, but with a couple more questions because of how Dak is going to come back.
Right.
It's just interesting, though. You can find it on ESPN.
All right. Check it out there. Okay. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios in the garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod. Brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Coming up in just a moment. Let's get to this day in sports history. 1929. The Chicago Cubs shut out the St. Cardinals 3-0 at Wrigley Field, ending their streak of consecutive scoreless innings to 26. Do you want to go back, though? 1876. The Boston Red Stockings beat the Philadelphia Athletics 6-5 at Philadelphia's Jefferson Street grounds. Why is this game historic? Do you know why?
Because no one says stockings anymore?
No. First game ever in National League history.
Oh, hey, cool.
Between those two clubs. 1949, Spencer Hayward, born in Silver City, Mississippi, went on to win a gold medal with the U.S. men's basketball team, the Summer Games in Mexico, and then had an outstanding career with the Lakers during his Hall of Fame career. 1967, New York Yankees Hall of Fame opened in Yankee Stadium. 1984, Herschel Walker rushed for 152 yards and a touchdown as the USFL's New Jersey Generals scored 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns to beat the, do you remember the name of the Pittsburgh team?
No.
The Maulers, 14-10.
That sounds about right.
Lame name. 2004, Pat Tillman left his career with the Arizona Cardinals to serve in the U.S. Army Rangers. Sadly and tragically killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. And that's the day in sports history. We'll take a look at the NASCAR world. Talladega coming up this weekend, and we'll have our guys on to break it all down for you. NASCAR Fred and J-Rod in the garage, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's next on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado's sports leader.
Cuckoo, and loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, and we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go racing. Get in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership, pricing, information, everything you need to know at MontroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred and J-Rod in the studio. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, buddy.
All right, last weekend, we were at Richmond, and the showman, or the snowman, or whatever, Alex Bowman, taking the checkered flag, Denny Hamlin second, Joey Logano, Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr. top five at the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond last Sunday.
He kind of seemed to come out of nowhere on this deal. Early on, he wasn't really that much of a factor, it didn't seem like, although, yeah, he's kind of moving up through the field. But then when it was all on the line at the end, he showed up. Took that 48 car to victory lane for the first time since fall of 2017. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's. I think it was the first win since. That's the first win since the takeover. Correct.
What's that, Garrett?
That was the first win in Richmond for the 48 car. I thought it was a little bit longer than that, but congratulations to him. And then big order came from Jimmy Johnson's after that win of getting that car back to victory lane.
Right. Yeah. The last time the 48 won was with the Dover back in 17. So it had been a while. Jimmy Johnson was really pushing strongly for Bowman to get that ride, and I think he had a good judgment in that. It's seeming to bear out. He just keeps getting stronger. He and Cliff Daniels seem like a good combination too. So that he may not be done yet this year. He's probably going to win some more.
And that's what I was going for. It was Alex, the 48. That's the first time the 48 has won since September of 2008 for the 48. That's where I was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty long drought for Richmond. But hey, he's getting back on the wheel, and here we go. 48's coming.
Right. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jared.
The interesting though, Dominic. I mean, I think you picked him, Fred. Denny Hamlin led. Whole whopping 207 laps with Martin Truex second with 107, and the Bowman led the 10 laps. But like we always say, it's always the last lap that matters.
It's not how you start. It's not where you're in the middle of the race. It's where you finish, right, guys?
Right. I picked Kyle Busch to win this. I had picked Denny Hamlin the week before in Martinsville. Denny has led 483 laps in the last two races and hasn't been able to take either of them home. Got a third and a second. So he's got to be getting a little bit frustrated.
Any surprises in the top 10 for you guys?
You know, I don't think a surprise, but I was just reading, too, that Matt DiBenedetto, he really hasn't been off to a great start. He did finish ninth here at Richmond, and, you know, they're saying that the momentum has turned around for him, and he's starting to work his way up, and here's a good proof of it.
Yeah, and he's he kind of needs to build his resume because he is going to be looking for a ride next year. You know, he knows that that his contract is up. Austin Cindric is going to be in that 21 car next year. So so Matty D, he wants to look good this year and maybe win a race or two, get a good ride for next year. Austin Dillon, top 10, I don't make note of that. He's kind of been under the radar a little bit lately, but he's been running pretty strong. We talked about Tyler Reddick last week. The two of them both, you know, RCR is really looking pretty good this year. So we might see some more out of Austin Dillon.
And another another top 10 finish for Christopher Bell as well.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, one that surprises me. There's no surprise in this. I'm not a big Ross Chastain fan, but he finished 15th in the 42 car that, you know, he took over for Kyle Larson. Not bad. I think that's not bad. Another one too is Eric Almirola. I don't think Eric Almirola has been very consistent in the races, but there again, he finished 6th. So I mean, that's, you know, kudos to him.
And we look at the standings after Richmond heading into Talladega. Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, and Brad Keselowski. That's your top nine with Christopher Bell, as I mentioned, at number 10 right now. And the points in the NASCAR standings. It's NASCAR Fred and J-Rod today in the garage, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. So we get ready to go to Talladega this weekend. And Harrison Burton is going to get his first cup opportunity at Talladega. Guy that's been dreaming of this day for a long, long time. When he was 5 years old, said he wanted to be a cup driver, then made his first start in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, you know, about a decade later, and he was 5 years old, and then ran three part-time seasons before his full run in 2019. So he's been working his way up to this opportunity. So Harrison Burton will get his first chance this weekend to compete in a NASCAR Cup event.
And of course, another second generation NASCAR driver, Jeff Burton, is his dad. And he's been doing very well in the Xfinity Series. I believe he was in the championship four last season. I wouldn't swear to that, but you know, he has got some wins in the Xfinity Series. He's been consistently running up front there, so it'll be interesting to see. Everybody talks about what a difference there is between the Xfinity cars and the Cup cars, and some guys, they just take to it right away, like say Kyle Larson, and other guys, they, like maybe Christopher Bell, even just kind of struggle a little bit more before they really get the Cup cars figured out. So what a place to start, though, at Talladega. I don't know how much you can tell by that. You just kind of hang on and hope you're still running at the end.
Well, and you know what? I mean, it's funny you say that, Fred, because it's funny. He's starting pretty much dead last. He's starting 39th. But what a way to start. I mean, start in the back, get the feel for the car underneath you, just like you said, talking about the two different cars. But how many times have we seen it? Talladega, Daytona, it doesn't matter where you start, because with the draft and your partners and your friends, you can go right to the front in a matter of a couple laps.
And especially if there's a big one, you know, early in stage three that takes out about 15 cars or so, that can change things a lot. And hey, all of a sudden you're in the top 20s, so not a bad day.
And you know what? He's got some pretty good company in front of him. Ryan Newman's a couple rows ahead of him. Who else to follow than Ryan Newman, right?
Right. Yeah, he's pretty good on the super speedways.
I do want to ask you guys about this situation, because Truck Series veteran Jennifer Jo Cobb, she was set to make her Cup debut this weekend at Talladega, but she's not going to be able to compete in the race after NASCAR told her she didn't meet the sanctioning body's approval criteria for the race. The question about this is, what is this criteria?
Well,
because nobody seems to really know what that is, and so she's not going to be able to race this weekend.
Well, I think if you look back, I think she got called to the NASCAR hauler after Richmond. She got involved in several incidents on the track at Richmond. And I feel, to be honest, because there was, you know, hype about it last week about her coming, doing the Talladega race, I think they pulled the plug and said, you know what, there's too many things that could happen in here, and you're vying with a lot of people that are vying for championships and points. So
I just think, and I agree with the person who wrote the article about this, though, let's be clear for NASCAR, be clear on what those reasons are. What criteria did she not meet? What things did she violate? Be straightforward about it and say, well, this is why she's not racing this weekend. Because all of a sudden, then it's sexism comes up. They didn't want her to race because she's female. Be clear about it. And then, because I don't think that is the case here necessarily about it being sexist. But I do think those that some transparency probably needs to be an order on why she's not racing this weekend. The
main reason that they said was just her performance records. Truck Series, she's has 217 starts, and she's only finished on the lead lap 11 times. Partly, that's just, you know, being an underfunded team and not having the money to run with the big dogs.
I think she funds her own team, I believe, is what I read.
Exactly. And, you know, just by way of contrast, Derek Colt, 62 years old, hasn't run a cup race in 2 years, hasn't run full-time in cups since 1995. He was approved in the very same car as Jennifer Joe. So, I don't know. Is there a little bit of double standard going on, or is there maybe some bad blood in the garage, like you were saying, because of what she's been involved in on the track?
Here's one of the things too. I think it partly is. I mean, there's a couple things that really quickly want to mention, but one is we've seen Ryan Newman get in a horrible, horrible wreck.
Right.
Going for the lead. Don't get me wrong, but anything can happen. We know that. And not to say that, you know, she's going to cause a wreck or something like that. But, you know, I think I go with what Fred said. You know, she's only finished on the lead lap in 11 races out of 200 and some starts. I mean, that kind of says something for it. Real quick, though, too, Ryan Newman got his wreck car in his garage from Daytona as a trophy.
Hey, I see the car that saved his life.
Exactly, yeah. I could see why you'd want to keep that around. All right, so we got Talladega this weekend. It's the Geico 500, Fox TV on Sunday, noon our time. We have about a minute here left to go, guys. Predictions on this. Start out with you, NASCAR Fred.
Brad Keselowski. He's good on the super speedways. He's come up a little bit short last few races here. He wants to get a win. This is the place to do it. I think Bad Brad gets one.
I'm gonna go with Fred's guy. I'm gonna go with Tyler Reddick. I think he's gonna get pushed to the front and off he goes.
I'm gonna go with Ryan Blaney this weekend at Talladega.
That's the name that popped into my head initially too. Ryan Blaney.
All right, very good. Once again, that race is Sunday at Talladega. NASCAR Fred, J Rod, always appreciate the expert insight. Thanks again for coming on. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. That's In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Go to montroseFordNissan.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 7 right here on the